And today we're going to speak about spiritual battle, okay? There's spiritual battle going on. And what is spiritual battle? And what do I mean when I say there is spiritual battle? This is what I mean. We are at war. And we have been at war since right after the fall in the Garden of Eden. And this war will not stop until the Lord God returns and establishes his eternal kingdom. And you cannot hide from this war. And you cannot try to escape the effects of this war. No matter where you go, the war is. You think, I'm going to leave Santa Fe and go somewhere else. Do you think somewhere else doesn't have spiritual war and difficulty and temptation and drugs and alcohol and cancer and problems and job and drought and earthquakes and etc.? No matter where you go, there's going to be a battle between good and evil. Someone shared in the prayer time that feel like they're under spiritual attack. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're never going to not be under spiritual attack, so you better start getting used to and start equipping yourself as a soldier to stand in the battle, because you can't hide. It's all around us. It says here that the powers of good and evil are at total war. And through human history, all you have to do is do a cursory review of human history. There's been nothing but conflict and war. I'm not just talking about physical war. I'm talking about the conflict between ideologies about we believe this, you believe that, and then it results eventually in many times into a war. We've had world wars, and those world wars were fought over ideology. You know what ideology is? Beliefs. What people teach is true, and what people teach is good and evil. There is a battle. It says in Ephesians, and the Apostle Paul, who was a Christian in the first century, right after Jesus was crucified and rose again, he commissioned this man to go out and preach the gospel in the Roman Empire. And in this preaching, he ended up beheaded in Rome because he was preaching that Caesar, the government, is not God. God is God. And because of that, he was put to death. He said this, we Christians, we who say we follow God, we who claim to be the followers and disciples of God and Jesus Christ, we strive not only against flesh and blood. The Bible says that our flesh battles against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So our battle is internal and external. Our battle is about our own temptations and our own problems, and it's also the problems outside of us. It's the problems in the church and the family and at work and friends in the nation. It's problems in the world, and none of us can get away with getting through this life without confronting it. Many of us have been wounded by life. Many of us have been beaten down by the things of life. And I'm here to tell you that there is a God that can help you in the midst of all of that. You may, like Kathy Lithgow sitting over there in a wheelchair, find yourself with MS for years. How many years now? 20 years, and watch herself lose control of one leg, another leg, of her arm, of her other arm, right? And she still follows God. We strive not only against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what is this struggle that's going on? The struggle is about what's right, what's wrong, what's true and what is not, what is good and what is evil. In the Old Testament, Isaiah the prophet said this, because at that time in Israel's existence, they were kind of like America is now. And he, a prophet, had to say this, woe unto you who call good evil and evil good. We're there now in this country. We are now exchanging evil for good and good for evil. And we are now saying that evil is good and good is evil. We are actually doing it. We're legislating it. When we meet evil or cruelty from others in life, there are deeper and darker powers behind it. When you feel that you're under attack, it's because you are. You don't need to feel it. The Bible says that it is. Many don't even know they're being used by evil forces. One of the apostles actually found himself caught up in the conflict. One of the followers of Jesus Christ who became one of the main teachers of the early church, Peter. I'll show you this in a minute. The nature of this war that we are in is spiritual. And what do I mean when I say spiritual? I don't mean just devils and angels. I mean ideologies, human positions of right and wrong. Are we created? Did we evolve? Did flying saucers drop us off? What's true and what's not true? Ideologies, isms. There has been Marxism. There has been communism. There is capitalism. There is socialism. There's many isms, correct? There's Darwinism. There's many teachings, and those teachings result in what's right and what's wrong. People say, well, the church and religion has killed more people than anything. That's because the battle is in the church. That's why. Because the church needs to identify and articulate what is right and what is wrong. But when the church itself becomes corrupted, and when the church itself decides that wrong is right and right is wrong, then you've got a huge problem. And that's precisely what happened when Jesus Christ came. The very leadership spiritually of the people of God Israel had begun to compromise truth. It's happening today all across America. It's been happening all my life and all of the lives of your parents and grandparents, an attack on those places that believe in God and believe in the Bible and believe in the truths of God. It is mocked. It is made fun of. It is put down as ignoramus. There was war in heaven, says Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon and his angels, what they do? They fought back. Satan is not going to let up fighting against the forces of God until he is destroyed. So you need to give up any notion of, I just want to get away from it all. I'm going to go hide on a mountaintop and go in a cave and hide. And maybe it'll all go away. It won't. The battle is everywhere. No matter where you go, there it is. But he, the devil, was not strong enough. And they, the devil and his angels, who are his angels? They're called demons. They used to be all holy. Satan used to be Lucifer, son of the morning star. He turned and usurped, or tried to usurp, the very position of God, wanted to sit on his throne. He convinced one-third of the holy, uncountable angels to follow him in this deceit, in this rebellion. They became demons. And when Jesus Christ showed up on earth, what happened? Demons started screaming out, even inside the synagogue, inside the church. People would jump up and start screaming, "We know who you are. You're the Son of God." There are demons. They are real. We live in a culture that has poo-pooed this whole idea of the spiritual side of existence. Oh no, we're in science and technology. That stuff isn't even real. That's why we're having so much trouble nowadays, because we don't recognize the fact that there are powers of darkness. There are forces of evil, and they actively pursue against the forces of good. And you and I are in it. See, but I'm just one person. What can I do? You can do what you're doing right now. You can put down your flag and say, "I'm going to follow God." Somebody told me that this morning. She said that her family told her, "When are you going to stop going to church? You've already been going enough." She goes, "Well, I'm going to tell you something." She just got baptized last November here, right here. If you want to get baptized, there it is. I want to schedule one this quarter. Okay, that means by March, I want to see people in the water there. And if not there, we're going to go to the river. And I'll stand in the river like John the Baptist, and I'll ask you to come out. I'm not John the Baptist. But we need to start making some commitments to God if we want to see God change things. And it starts with you. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven, and the great dragon was hurled down. Down from where? From heaven. That ancient serpent called the devil. The Bible identifies him very clearly. Or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. How does Satan lead the whole world astray? We'll see this in this series. I'm going to preach about this for a little while. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Why do you think that when Jesus showed up, there was so much spiritual resistance against him? Why did demons jump out everywhere he went? Why? Because there's a battle, and because the demons are very active here. The Bible says in the New Testament that in the latter days, and we're in them, people will pay heed to doctrines of demons. This is in 1 Timothy. Doctrines, what's a doctrine? A doctrine is a teaching. A doctrine is something that says this is what is true and that is not true. That's what a doctrine is. Oh, I don't like doctrine. It just makes me too uncomfortable. If you don't believe rightly, you might even lose your soul. We are in a spiritual battle, whether you like it or not, you're in it. And that battle is primarily focused where you and I are. The battle centers around one thing, God's desire to save human souls. He wants people to know Him. He wants people to experience relationship with Him. He wants you to know Him and Him to know you and you to live in Him and He to live in you and you to have His Spirit and you to take His Word and you to share His love and you to have His power and you to experience His blessing. He wants that for you. He doesn't want you to be confused and caught up in evil and deceived and tricked by the devil and in bondage to drugs and alcohol and deceit. He wants you free. Look what it says here. The God of this world, little G-O-D, not God, but the guy who calls himself the God of this world. Somebody told me just this week that they got an offer. Remember when Satan offered, I'll be preaching about this as we go on. Satan offered Jesus something. What did he offer him? All of the kingdoms of and the glory of this world. And what did he say? They are mine, and I give them to whomever I want. Now, I'll tell you two things about that. I won't preach about that yet, but just to tell you, he's lying. He's a thief. And thieves often, when they steal something, they say it's theirs, but it's not theirs. They stole it. He stole this place from us. He usurped our authority. He tried to get us and did succeed and get us to rebel against God and God's word. And this is why he thinks he has power over it. Now, he does have certain power, but only amongst those who don't know God. Now watch. The God of this world, this is the Bible, not me. Satan, okay, he's the God of this world, has blinded the minds. What did he blind? The minds. This is why you need to get into the Bible, because the Bible reveals to you truth. Get the audio Bible if you're not a good reader. Get the audio Bible. I've got it on my smartphone. And I've been listening to the Bible. I've heard most of it already read to me. Get the Bible. When I first started to read the Bible, do you know what I started to say in my mind and in my spirit? I go, wow, this is weird. I didn't know this. Wow, I didn't know that. I go, why didn't they tell me this? Because there's a battle for your mind. That's why. There's a battle for your mind. Why do you think that all of the forces of evil have tried to get God and the teaching of God and the Bible out of the schools? Why? Get the mind. If you get the mind, you get the soul. You and I need to get control of our minds. Are you out of your mind? If you're not following God, you're out of your mind. He has blinded the minds of people who don't what? Believe. You know what Jesus was asked this? What do you want us to do? What does God want us to do? Believe in the one he has sent. I preached this way back. I've been here almost 20 years. And somebody made that banner for me. Believe in the one he has sent. They were so taken by this. What does God want from you? He wants you to believe. Believe what? Believe that he is God. Believe that his son is the Savior. Believe that his kingdom is coming. Believe that right is right and wrong is wrong. Believe. He wants you to believe. He, the devil, keeps, that is, he actively strives to, he keeps the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, from saving their souls, your Bible might say, from shining upon them. What does Satan actively try to do? Keep you and me from getting saved. This is why whenever a ministry, whatever, wherever that ministry is, in any culture group, in any language group, in any church that decides that God is right, the Bible is right, Jesus is right, and they begin to teach this. This is why when great strides are made in salvation, when people make commitments and get baptized and say, Jesus is real, he's my Lord, I give myself to him, this is why the battle intensifies right there. Every time here at Grace Church we have ever had a huge baptism, something happens, and guess where it happens? Either in the family of one of our leaders, or in the leadership, or inside the church. Why? The devil hates it when people get saved. He doesn't want people's souls to be saved. I'll show you. See, God made a covenant to save souls. You know what a covenant is? It's a pact, a promise. And when God makes a promise, he fulfills his promise. Look what he says to Abraham in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. I will make your offspring, Abraham, like the dust of the earth, so that anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. And again, God took Abraham outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if you can. And then he said, so shall your offspring be. Now, Abraham's the father of the Jewish people. Now, if you've done any kind of demographic study of planet Earth, there's way more what in the world? Chinese, right? Statistically, the number of physical Jews is less than 1%. So what's God talking about here? He's talking about people who would believe in the one true unseen God, the God of Abraham. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the salvation of multiple souls so that by the time Revelation rolls around in the Bible, John the Apostle says this, I saw a great multitude around the throne which no one could count, and they all wore white robes and had palm branches in their hands, and they sang a new song. And John the Apostle says this, and one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these people? He goes, I don't know, you tell me. They are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation of the world and have not counted their lives. They have given themselves to the Lord. Revelation. He has made a covenant to save souls, and he will accomplish this covenant. This is why we do what we do here at Grace Church. Why? We hold out the word of life, the Bible of God, and the promises of God, and the commitments of God, and we teach them and we preach them. Why? So that people can know the truth, and so that the truth can free them from the deceits and the lies of the enemy. I'll show you. Satan actively battles against this promise. He has committed himself to this war. They say we are in a war against terror. Do you know that war against terror is ideological? What are we battling? We're battling ideas. There is a group that teaches certain groups of people that you must destroy Americans and Western culture because they are the great Satan. You must destroy them. That's what they're being taught daily, every time they get together. They're being taught, kill Westerners, kill Americans, kill those who don't believe in our way of belief. That's the battle we're in. That's why we actually had Afghanistan. That's why we had Desert Storm. That's why we had Iraq. That's why. And you say, well, I don't know if I agree with any of that. Whether you agree or not, it's happening. We're in it. Some people from our own church have gone out. My brother was in Iraq twice. Many people here from northern New Mexico, little old New Mexico. My dad in 1940, what was it, Mom 2 or whenever Pearl Harbor was bombed, he went down and signed up for the U.S. Navy and almost ended up dead in the Sea of Japan because of this battle between good and evil. Is it right for Christians to kill in war? Well, we'll get into that later. Jesus has primarily called his followers to get the word of God out to people so that we can convince people by the word of God, not by the sword. He told Peter and the apostles, put that sword away when Peter cut off the ear of the high priest. For he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Now that does not mean that a Christian cannot be a policeman, that a Christian cannot be a soldier. Never did Jesus nor John nor the apostles criticize authority figures. Indeed, they supported them. Because if you have to kill in the line of duty, it's not murder. Okay? It's not murder if you have to kill. If a policeman is out there and some madman or woman is going crazy and they shoot that person, is that murder? No, that's line of duty, different. Very different. Scriptures support this. Now, not all of us are obvious policemen, okay? Or maybe some of us have been soldiers. I have been one. How many have been in the military? Okay, if you're in the military and if you had to actually kill somebody, that's not murder. Unless, of course, you did it against the Geneva Convention, which Captain Medina from Las Vegas, New Mexico, did in Vietnam. He lost his cool and he just killed a whole bunch of civilians. He was put on trial and he was convicted for breaking Geneva Convention rules in the engagement of warfare. Okay? So it's not really cut and dry all the time. You have to let the Lord guide you. Now, even a policeman can find themselves in trouble. You know the woman that was shot right out here in front of the church. Did you guys know that? Right out here, she drove her car into the wall and tried to back over a police officer, and the police officer shot her. He tried to stop. And the Supreme Court of New Mexico just this week made a decision that it was a justifiable shooting because the officer's life was in danger. You say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, again, Romans 13 says, those who are in authority bear the sword. What's the sword nowadays? Guns. For punishing wrongdoers. So if you try to run a police officer over with your car, guess what's going to happen? If you point a squirt gun at a policeman, he doesn't know it's a squirt gun. I'm telling the truth here. I was in Southern California, and a policeman walked in because he got a call that there was somebody breaking in. He went in, and there was a little kid pointing a squirt gun at him, and he didn't know. And he shot the kid. And, you know, he resigned from the police force because he felt so bad. But, again, you've got to be really smart up here. Say, yes, sir. No, sir. Policeman pulls you over. Yes, sir. No, sir. Not, why are you doing this to me? I hate you. I mean, if you want to escalate the confrontation, you're going to find yourself in more confrontation. So might as well just pay your $40 and go home. Your life is worth more than $40. Okay. Jesus explained to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He knew that he was going to sit on the throne of David and reign forever. He knew that he was the Son of God because he had just said so a couple of chapters earlier. Who do people say I am? Some say John the Baptist. Some say one of the prophets. And Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter. This was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And just a couple of chapters later, a few weeks later, Jesus says this to him. The same guy that he says, blessed are you. He says, get behind me, Satan. Talk about a high and a low. You mean that Satan can pull the strings of a Christian? Yep, Satan can. Satan can actually get in and mess with Christians. How does he do it? He does it spiritually. Look what happens here. He says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the things of God. Well, what are the things of God that we just read? He's committed to what? Save souls. How is he going to save souls? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, needs to go to the cross. He needs to die on the cross to pay for all of the sins of all of the souls that he's going to save. And if you try to stop that, guess who's trying to stop it? Not Peter. Guess who's really behind it? Remember I said earlier that sometimes people who are doing stuff don't realize that it's Satan who's pulling the strings? Satan was pulling the string here. He was the one that was provoking Peter to do this, and Jesus right away sees it. It's Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God. I want to save souls. I want to pay for their sins. I want to go to the cross. I want to die on the cross for them because I love them. I love them so much. I want to pay for all of their sins. And Satan actively tried to block this since before Jesus was born. I'll show you in a minute. You have in mind the things of men. Well, what are the things of men? Mankind thinks that they know how to solve the problems of mankind. God says, you can't solve any problem. I can. I'm God. I can take care of your sin. I can drive demons out of you. I can resurrect you from the dead. How do you like that kind of authority? The Republicans can't do it. The Democrats can't do it. Obama can't do it. JFK can't do it. Abraham Lincoln can't do it. God does these things. Satan actively battles against the promises of God. Accomplishing God's plan for salvation requires total fearlessness. If you and I are going to be involved in spiritual battle, and I shouldn't have even predicated with if. You are involved in spiritual battle. And if you are fearful, you will do what the children of Israel did in the men's Bible study, 6 o'clock on Wednesday mornings, we read about the story of Goliath. And guess what happened? All of the soldiers, including the king, every time they saw this 10-foot man out there screaming at them, they ran and they hid. They were afraid. But David, the little shepherd boy, came with his sling and he killed a 10-foot giant because he believed that no matter what, he could fight in the name of God. Jesus led the way to Jerusalem. In the other gospel, it says this. He set his face as flint to Jerusalem. They tried to dissuade him from it. They tried to say, why are you going to go there? They're going to kill you. That's what I came for. I came to die for them. You and I, we're in life. You may try to evade problems. You may try to step aside from being involved in ministry because it's going to be painful. It's going to sometimes take the life out of you. You're going to feel sometimes, like the Apostle Paul said, we have a sentence of death upon us. I get involved with people, I tell them about God, and they turn on me and they bite me. That's what happens in ministry. Ask Jesus Christ. Those who followed him, it says this, were what? They were afraid. And why were they afraid? Because they knew he was going to be killed there. In the other gospel, it says this, that Thomas said to the rest of them, let's go with him, we'll die with him. They knew what was going to happen. You and I, if we stick our necks out for Jesus and God, if we start saying, this is right, this is wrong, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be people that disagree with you. They're going to actively disagree with you, and they're even going to maybe pass legislation to get you arrested and put away. It has happened in time past. Out there in the foyer, there's a bunch of magazines called The Voices of the Martyr. Pick up that magazine and see. There's places right now on planet Earth that if you stand up for God, they'll put you in jail. They'll take away your business, your home. They'll persecute you and sometimes even put you to death for believing in God. Is that possible in America? Oh, yes. Very possible. Even though America's roots are all about God. We're quickly as a culture and as a nation turning away from those roots. We're turning away from our heritage. We're turning away from right and wrong because hardly anybody anymore is saying, no, no, we can't do that. We're going to destroy ourselves. Haven't you asked yourself, why are we suffering such horrible drought, the worst drought in California history for 100 years? Why? God withholds blessings when people turn away from him. Says, if you don't want to bless me, I'll hold back the rain. If you don't want to bless me, I'll take away food. If you don't want to bless me, I'll take away money. I'll take away security. I'll take it all away if you don't want to acknowledge me. Not because God is an ogre and he tries to get even with us, but because if we don't acknowledge God, then we aren't giving thanks to the one who gives us all the blessings of life. The 12, he took them aside and he said, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They'll condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles, mock him, spit on him, flog him, kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Jesus had total fearlessness. He was not afraid to go to the cross and die. Indeed, he threw his arms around the cross. He said this to the disciples, how I want that baptism of fire. I want to go to Jerusalem. Why? He wanted to fulfill what God had destined. And you and I need to stop being afraid of engagement in the battle. You and I need to stop being afraid that if I say this, my daughter or granddaughter or son or grandson or brother or sister or husband or wife or friend or coworker, they might get angry at me. Are you more afraid of their anger? Or should you be more concerned for their soul? Would you like to stand in front of Almighty God one day and say, I knew all about you. I knew about your salvation. I knew about heaven. I knew about hell. But I didn't tell anybody because I was afraid they would get mad at me. Think about that. Satan switches targets. When he can't stop somebody, he'll go at somebody else. He couldn't get to Jesus. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for the scriptures say, serve the Lord God only. He couldn't stop Jesus. So he went after Simon. Who's Simon, the lead man of the apostles? Simon, Simon, look what Jesus says here. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, Peter. What does it mean to sift you as wheat? He wanted St. Peter dead before he started ministry. Look what Jesus says here, though. This is an encouragement for you and for me. But I have prayed for you. Do you know that Jesus prays for you? Do you know that you don't need to go to a man in a little black box to pray for you? You don't need a human being here on earth to pray for you. You need Jesus to pray for you. And he does. He intercedes, it says in Hebrews, for us continually. His ministry right now isn't just to twiddle his thumbs, wait for the end to come. He actively engages in interceding and praying for us right now. Right now in heaven, Jesus seated at the right hand of God on high. He protects us from Satan. When you return, I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. What happened to Peter when he denied Jesus? He went out and wept. He was a prime candidate for suicide. One of the disciples did commit suicide, just to show you that the intensity of the attack came on the disciples themselves. Why? Because what they had was going to change the whole future of the world, and Satan was about to try to stop it in its tracks. I can't stop the Savior, so I'll stop them. But I've prayed for you, Simon. See, greater is Jesus than Satan. Peter replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. We all make these commitments. Oh, yeah, God, I'm going to follow you. You'd be surprised. When I was in the army, people are always like, all gung-ho, I'm going to be this. And then you get out to the real thing and everybody's chicken. When the real thing happens and the firefight is on, you find out who are the real soldiers, who are the real heroes. Peter replied, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny that you knew me three times. In the Gospel of John, it says this. They were in the courtyard of the high priest, and they had Jesus bound. They had already beaten him a few times. And when the rooster crowed right after Peter said, I don't know him, it says, and Jesus looked at him. That just went right through his soul, and he ran out the door and cried. Later on, when he became and was restored to ministry and the church, he wrote the epistle of 1 Peter, and he wrote this, the devil seeks whom he may devour. He didn't do this because he learned it in a Bible seminary class. He did this because he personally experienced this. The devil tried to destroy him. The devil tried to swallow him whole and spit him out. But Jesus had prayed for him. You and I, Jesus prays for us. But know this, the devil will do everything he can to stop Grace Community Church or whatever church from reaching somebody for God, including messing with your life. And I don't mean about taking your life out. I mean about harassing you, discouraging you, bringing stuff into your life or your family or your business so that you won't be involved. Neutralize the enemy in his own camp. Get the people, get the other team to fight amongst themselves and you will win, right? It's one of the oldest strategies there is. Be strong on your offense and get them to crumble from within. The enemy sought to destroy the Savior before he was born by genocide against God's people. I researched this and I was stunned. I was flabbergasted. I was scared. It turned my stomach. My wife and I both go, we can't believe this. Did you know that the Jewish people have been from Exodus when the Pharaoh and the Egyptians said, let's kill all the boys. Let's throw them in the river. There's too many of them. Let's kill them all. To Esther, where the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, had a man in it, a high official that said, I want all Jews dead. To King Nebuchadnezzar, who set up an image and said, if you don't worship this image and you don't believe that I'm God, I'm going to kill you. I'll throw you in a fiery furnace. Or I'll throw you in a den of lions. To the Romans who tried to exterminate the Jews, or the Greeks, or the Assyrians, or later on, Spain, 1492, Columbus sailed the Ocean Blue. Guess what happened in 1492 in Spain? King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella from Spain said, all Jews must leave within 4 months. Get out of Spain. I mean, it went on and on and on. England threw them out. Italy threw them out. Hungary threw them out. Russia threw them out. Germany threw them out. We all point to Germany because that was just one of the latest episodes. Genocide against people of God. Why? To try to frustrate the promises of God. That's why. Look what it says here. The dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, so he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. This is metaphorical for Israel. Israel, who brought to us the Christ. He was always going after Israel. Read, I'll go in this series about how Satan tried to stop Christ's line multiple times. It got down to one little boy one time, and they were trying to find him to kill him, but they couldn't find him because one godly woman hid him. Satan always tries to frustrate the plan of God. So when Jesus was born, remember Herod the king? Kill all the little baby boys again. He's always trying. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to a place prepared for her where she would be taken care of out of the serpent's reach. God has supernaturally protected the people of God, Israel. Why? Because he has promises to fulfill. That's why. But Satan hates them, and he'll even use churches to try to kill them. It happened in history and time past in Europe. A pope one time said, it's the Jews' fault that we are having this black death. Let's kill them all. And because of that, he took thousands and thousands of Jews' property and money and lives and homes were taken away from them, and many of them were murdered publicly. Read it. Just do a little Google search, atrocities against the Jews. Along with that will come all these false accusations about the Jews, that the Jews are the ones that create all the problems, mostly coming from the Middle East. Satan uses verbal tactics of attack and deceit. What are his tactics? How does he attack the people of God? With words. Words. I love the Lord of the Rings, Hobbit, Frodo, all of that stuff. And there's this guy that's an evil guy, but he has a voice that when people listen to his voice, they get tricked by his voice because it sounds so neat, so cool, so suave, so nice. And they get sucked into his little web and he deceives them. That's the way Satan is. From his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river. What's that? Words. It's propaganda. It's false teaching. It's accusations. It's anything that goes against the people of God and the teaching of God. To overtake this woman and sweep her away with a torrent. That's anti-Semitism. Kill Jews, kill Jews, kill them all. Where does that come from? Why isn't there something else? You know, why is it only the Jews? Why? Because they are the people of God, and through them God brought to us the Christ. And Romans says, we owe a great debt to the Jewish people because God brought the Savior through them to us. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river. So what happened? There was a diaspora. What's a diaspora? He spread the Jews out all over the whole world to protect them. That's why. So there's even Jewish people right here in northern New Mexico who left Spain to come here to flee away from the Inquisition. Did you guys know that? Some of your relatives, some of you are Jewish and you don't even know it. Take a little DNA test. You'll find out that you have Jewish background. And the reason that your ancestors left Spain is because the edict said that they had to get out of Spain. But they were allowed to go to the ends of the empire. Well, where was the end of the Spanish Empire? Santa Fe, New Mexico. Did you guys know that? One of the governors of Santa Fe, New Mexico, was arrested by the Inquisition here in Santa Fe at the governor's palace and taken by horseback in a jail because they saw him lighting candles on a Friday night because they said he's a Jew. So they took him and they put him in jail in Mexico City where he died. You guys didn't know that kind of stuff, did you? Now you do. The earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth, his verbal attacks, his deceit, his lies, his propaganda. He uses this. He's very good at it. He knows how to use the Bible even. He used the Bible against the Son of God in the temptation in the desert. He quoted Scripture by memory. The devil did. He knows how to do this. You need to know the Bible better than the devil does. You need to know it. It's not enough to just let the preacher know it. You've got to know it. Because when you know the Bible, Jesus said it this way, when you know the truth will set you free from what? From deceit, from lies, from propaganda. His eye, the enemy, the devil, his eye is fixed on the church. Now that the battle has switched, it's switched onto the church. His gaze is fixed on us. If you're involved in Christian church in any way, don't be surprised that you're being attacked. Don't be surprised that you're being gone against because it's the devil. The dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. What offspring? Those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Oh, did you guys know that the church was born out of Judaism? This means people of God in every age and in every church all around the world throughout time and history. Our position as those who believe in God is attacked continually because he went to what? Make war against us. You have to put yourself in there because if you believe in God and if you believe in Jesus and you believe that the Bible is God's word, then you have a big target on your back concerning Satan. But something better. I'll show you in a minute. The enemy originated death and destruction and lies and deceit. It came from him, not from God. People tell me this all the time. I don't believe in a God who allows all this killing and murder and mayhem and problems in the world. It's not God that started that. It was him. Let's get the record straight. It came from him. You. He tells his own people when he was here on earth, some of his own people who were trying to kill him, he said, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. So where does murder and mayhem and genocide and hate and evil come from? From the devil. And where does lies and deceit and propaganda and false teaching come from? From the devil. Where do all these weird isms come from? The devil. It comes from him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. All false teachings originate from Satan. It originates in him, not God. God has truth. God has love. God has forgiveness. God has life. God has power. God has resurrection power. God has promise. God is truth. In case all of this sermon was depressing to you, I want us to read this together. Let's stand. I'm afraid I'm going to go hide. Can't hide. Let's read together. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He knows God, listens to us. He who does not know God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That is to encourage you. If you have Jesus in you, it doesn't matter that Satan is the god of this world. It doesn't matter that he has a horde of demons. It doesn't matter that he knows how to kill and create genocide. It doesn't matter, because greater is Jesus Christ than he. Now, that doesn't relieve you from all the struggles of your life, but it should help you to understand that you can stand in the day of battle. Now, I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to pray a certain prayer, okay? Let's all just close our eyes. Lord God, you know every heart, every soul, every mind here. You know how Satan is always active, and you know how he tries to mess with our thoughts, our lives. He tempts us. He creates problems for us. He attacks us. He attacks churches. He hates us. He hates God's people. The Bible already clearly revealed that he has fixed his eyes on the church, and he's after it. I pray for everyone in here that you would protect them and deliver them from evil. I pray if anyone in here is in sin, that they would be delivered from it and repent of it and come out. I pray if anyone is being harassed by demons, that the demons in the name of Jesus would flee. I pray if anyone in here does not know the truth of the gospel and has never said yes to Jesus, that right now they would say, Jesus, please come into my heart. Please come into my life. I accept you now as Savior. You're my Lord. You're my master, not Satan. Not a church. Not a denomination, not Jimmy Sandoval, not the Pope, not Mother Teresa, but Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. May Jesus come into your heart and fully, fully fill you with his power and love. Amen.